with this service, but all year at St. Francis, our vestry, our altar guild, our musicians, our greeters. There might not be anyone left. That's probably everyone, I think. I hope I didn't leave anyone out, but just thank you to everyone for coming together and your faithfulness and your prayers, and especially for this evening together right now. I had a recollection come to my mind just last week. I'm not entirely sure why it came to my mind this last week, but it did. Some years ago, I had been in this business that I'm in now with you, maybe 2 years. And one of our parishioners, a young woman named Jackie, had gotten a crash kind of for Christmas time. And she was very proud of this crash. I think some of her family gave it to her. And she loved this crash. And so she asked me if I would bless this crash. So I said, sure, I'll bless the crash. So she brought the crash over. And well, let me be immediately transparent. There is no seminar when you go to seminary on how to bless a creche. There's no bless creching protocol that I know of. So she put the creche down, and I said, Lord, bless this creche. I didn't know what else to say. And she was appreciative, but she was very disappointed. I mean, I don't know exactly what else I could have done. Perhaps named the characters who were in the creche. I'm not sure. Given the animals' names, something, I don't know. Done some of this. I'm not entirely sure what it would have been. But she was very disappointed. And I felt bad about that. Although I have to admit to this day, I still don't know what to do when it comes to blessing a creche officially. And maybe perhaps there's nothing, but well, you get the point. Now, I was thinking about that because I did feel kind of bad that she was disappointed with this. And, you know, these thoughts come to mind that there's offense over nativity scenes and creches. And the offense in our culture is rising about that. You know, people say, well, there was no room for Jesus in the inn, and there's no room for him here either. Leaving him out, and let's get Christ back into Christmas. I mean, he never left Christmas anyway, but that. And why is it Xmas? Well, it's Xmas because X is one of the main symbols for Jesus. But don't let me digress too far into that. Things go on like that today. A municipality, a city government says you cannot have that nativity scene here, and people get all up in arms. Some applaud it, and others say, well, this is terrible. What's going on here? You can probably tell by the way I'm relating this to you, I don't get too upset about that sort of thing. Jesus is there all the time. You can't get away from him. You get to the darkest pit, and he's there. Everywhere you are, there's Jesus. You just can't get rid of him. But I do want to share with you something tonight about the inn and the manger and what that is and our perception of it. And there's something about our perception of it that can begin to invite us to be offended again. Because we read it, we think, these people not letting Jesus and Mary and Joseph in, and Mary's pregnant, and not even an innkeeper. This is just awful. However, Joseph and Mary were not turned away from an inn. I'm just making sure everyone's okay. They were not turned away from an inn. They didn't go to an inn. There was no opportunity for them to be turned away from an inn. There was no inn involved in this entire scenario. Now, I know we just read it said inn. However, I want to point out to you what that means. There's a Greek word that's translated inn. And it's a broad generalization of the idea of what actually happened. Now, this is what was going on. Joseph was taking his family to Bethlehem for the census, to be registered. Everybody had to do that. That was Joseph's hometown. He had a lot of relatives there. A lot of people knew him. He could have gone to one of his relatives' houses, particularly with the pregnant Mary along with him, and been welcomed in. Any of his relatives' houses would have had him come in. And that's probably what he was doing. Now, the house that they went to would have been like this. So allow me to use this room to point it out. If we go back here and picture at the entrance, there's steps coming up. And right about here, there's a wall with a doorway that you can get in. Now, on that side of the wall there by the entrance is a stable. And that's where the animals would stay. See, in a place that's agriculturally dependent economically and is poor, as some places in the world today, the animals come in at night. They wouldn't have had that many animals. They come into the house at night, helps keep the house warm, and prevents them from being stolen because it's their livelihood. So there they are. And along the wall would have been we would call them feeding troughs. They would call them mangers. There would be mangers along the wall. And that's where Jesus, of course, upon being delivered, was placed in one of those mangers. So be high enough for an animal to not, you know, bend down to get just easily reached. From that wall to right about, I would say here, is the living area. And that was where everything went on in the living area. There weren't a lot of other rooms. They're just the living area. And there would be another wall here. And then from here to this wall in our building right now would be the guest room. It's a very hospitable culture, and family and whoever would come, and you'd put them up. And what was going on, because everybody had to go to their hometown, nobody had an available guest room. There was no guest room available. Even for Joseph to show up with Mary, expecting a child, to one of his relatives' houses, the room would have already been taken, as it would have been in every one of his relatives. So what happens? Well, Mary and Joseph go out into the middle of the living area, and there they are with everyone and having a great time. And of course, they're not celebrating Christmas yet, but they're having a great time and nice to see everyone. It's the census, and we all get together, even though we don't like it. That we require this and that. And then her time comes and she gives birth. Where? Right in the middle of everything. Middle of the living area. Right there. And that's where they stayed, because the guest room, sometimes translated in Greek from the Greek as the inn, was full. So it was right in the middle of the entire family situation. And those families in those days, of course, were very extended and off of the place of business as well. There was a large number of people and in all these houses. So it was right in the middle of everything. Very, very interesting situation. Very powerful. Now, that means something, I think, very specific for us. See, Jesus was born in the middle of everything going on, the middle of the kind of press of extra family people showing up at your house because there's been a required census. There's also the business that's going on out of that house. There's also all the regular things that go on around that house when there's only one room for everyone to be in, because the animals have the other room and the guests have the third room. So you and your business associates and your family and everybody else has all that. Jesus was born in the middle of that, right there. As he would choose to be today in the life that you and I have. Jesus chooses to be born in the middle of everything that's going on in your life. He doesn't expect you to clean it up before he's allowed in. He doesn't expect you to have the maid service come and take care of the room before he shows, you know, takes it. It doesn't matter what's going on. He's going to be right in the middle of what's happening with you right now. And if you are in the middle of a storm or in the middle of something that is completely confusing to you, or if you are lost or stuck or in some kind of conflict of some kind, Jesus is born in the middle of that, right there. You do not have to take that away. Also, if you're in the middle of something that you are doing well, that you've done as well as any other time in your life, you have hit your sweet spot and it is going perfectly. Everything about it is absolutely right and it's going according to plan and better than plan. Jesus is in the middle of that also. And in both situations, he will come and he will add his life to that. In fact, he will change what is going on in those situations. When he is born into the middle of your life, everything about your life changes. And what he wants to do is stay in the middle of your life, right there. No matter if it's going really poorly or really well. Everybody okay so far? Because I know I just really did something to that image of no room at the inn and there's a donkey and off they go. So let me just add to that a little more if I may. Here's the shepherds. And the shepherds are out there with the flock and all these angels appear to them. Not just one, but this whole host of angels. I don't know how big a host is. It's the same as kind of blessing a creche. I'm not sure, but I know it's a lot. And there they are, and this one angel, after they all sing glory to God in the highest, says, go to Bethlehem and see there in the city of David. Maybe I better check my things here. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. Now these shepherds would not have been going out to some other field to find some little tiny shed that's kind of doubling as a stable. They would have known to find a relative of Joseph. They would have known, well, what we need to do is go find Joseph's family and knock on their door, and because that's where the baby's going to be, right in the middle of everything. And that's what they did. And what the angel told them was that is for all people. That is for all people. Absolutely everyone. No one is left out of that. This baby is to be born into the middle of everyone's life. Everyone's mess, everyone's success, everyone's plain old regular days. All of it is to be born in the middle of all of that. Now, I think there's a particular and specific way that this can set us free from some things that sometimes hold us back. And it was very interesting that in the first reading today that Jack read for us just a few moments ago, in the middle of the reading, it says, for all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. Now, isn't that just an uplifting Christmas thought right there? And there it is. And the next thing you know, he's being called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and all the things that you see on your Christmas cards. But here it is. The boots of the trampling warriors and the garments rolled in blood. That's what you see after an armed conflict, particularly in the way warfare was carried out in those days. And what will happen with these boots of the warriors and the garments rolled in blood is that they will be fuel for the fire. And that fuel for the fire is not to go back into the conflict. It is a fire that enables you to go forward into the things that God has called you, into the very purpose for which Jesus was born, into the middle of your life. in the middle of everything about your life, in the middle of the things that are just thrown at you and you didn't see them coming. All of that. Jesus is going to take you right through that. And your past conflicts, your past difficulties, the past things in your life that you may be ashamed of, the things that you regret. Like, I regret not anticipating what Jackie needed for blessing that crash. And there's a long list of other things in my own life like that. And there's probably things in your life that you regret. They are the boots of the warriors and the garments rolled in blood, and they do not define who you are any longer. Jesus begins to define who you are. Jesus begins to draw out of you what you were created to be. Jesus begins taking the past that just didn't work and putting it into the fire so it becomes fuel for where you're going next. And then the day after that, and the day after that. Because he was born to set his people free. Because he is the mighty God and the wonderful counselor and the Prince of Peace. And the government is on his shoulders. And of its increase, there shall be no end at all. So, what is it in your life right now that you do not want Jesus to come into? Some of you may need a few moments because the list is getting longer. We all have that. What is it in your life that you do not want Jesus to come into? What is he telling you about those areas right now? Either it's something that you feel you did wrong or something you feel you did right and you don't want God coming in here and taking it away from you. What is it? What step would Jesus have you take into the place that he's calling you? Away from the past that may be holding you back and into the place that you're meant to be. How will you allow the life of Jesus to continue growing all throughout every area of your life? Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have been born into the middle of our lives, born into the middle of the places where we live. We ask that you would show yourself more powerfully, more completely, and more fully all the days of our life. We ask that for the glory of your name. Amen.